Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network.
So this is going to be an event for our Labor Day that we may remember.
Yet tonight we could see gusts upwards of 50 to 55.
Crews and law enforcement are on alert tonight. In eastern Marion County, dozens of homes are now under a new evacuation notice.
We are following breaking news right now. Several communities in Marion County under level 3 go now evacuation order.
We just went down to Mill City, and between Lyons and Mill City on this road, we counted a number of homes that were burning, spot fires on both sides of the road.
It was very scary. You could see flames all around.
Lyons, Mill City, and Gates is on fire.
We will remember the night Santiam Canyon burned for a long time. A wind-fueled beast brought destruction, devastation, and death. In an instantly historic fire year, Beachy Creek is just one of five monster blazes that blackened more than 750,000 acres in Oregon in just 7 days. Most of which in a matter of hours. Now, as the first rains of fall finally dampen the Beachy Creek fire, we look back at the combination of several factors that turned a small blaze into a ferocious firestorm that moved at a fatal speed. By the afternoon of Thursday, September 3rd, it was pretty obvious that something big was about to cross the Canadian border and head southward into the Great Plains.
Wind is really going to pick up too, and that's also going to cause a bigger problem. The Portland metro area, gusts maybe perhaps as high as 40, 45, maybe.
Steve Pierce is a meteorologist for Coin 6.
When did you start seeing this cold front dropping out of Canada?
Well, Ian, we started noticing that a strong cold front was going to swing down in the Rocky Mountain states. The models were very insistent that that was going to create strong winds, that the pressure difference between the behind the front and ahead of the front would be significant. And we kept looking at it. And then Thursday, it really started honing in on it, in my opinion, about Thursday into Friday, where it was insistent that this front was going to sweep all the way down through the Intermountain West, and it would also push over the Rocky Mountains into eastern Oregon and eastern Washington.
When that cold front pushed south Monday morning, it kicked up strong winds in eastern Washington. Several smaller fires roared to life, sending thick smoke through the Columbia River Gorge and into the Portland metro area.
Steve, can you walk me through kind of the science of when that wind started to roll through eastern Washington? How does it get into the Portland metro area?
Actually, very simple. Cold air is dense, and dense air tends to sink and want to travel to the lowest elevation possible. That cold air cooled in eastern Washington, and then it's basically sucked like a funnel down through the Columbia River Gorge and through the corridors like the Highway 26 corridor, the Santiam Highway 22 corridor. And it even pulled it all the way down to the coast, which is even more rare.
While smoke was the story in Portland and along the Oregon coast, something very different was happening along the Santiam River. Up until Labor Day Monday, very few people were paying attention to the Beachy Creek fire burning in dense timber north of Detroit, Oregon. It had burned fewer than 1,000 acres since first being reported in mid-August. A plume from the much bigger Lion's Head fire burning on several thousand acres to the east had dominated the horizon for days.
What causes those giant plumes of smoke to form?
The hot gases.
Brett Butler studies wildfire for the U.S. Forest Service out of the Missoula Fire Sciences Laboratory in Montana.
Those hot gases are buoyant. They're lighter than the air around them, and so they move upward. Moisture is evaporated and then condensed as the gases move upward and cool. It's essentially the same process that form in a thunder cell. So you've got hot, moist air that then starts moving upward. And then as the moisture in that air cools off and starts to condense, then it warms the air more and it keeps moving up, and you just form this, essentially this huge plume.
As the plume over the Lion's Head Fire grew taller over Labor Day weekend, Monday's wind had fire weather forecasters working a smaller fire just to the west very concerned. By midday, evacuation warnings had been issued for some of those living closest to the southern and western edges of the Beachy Creek Fire.
I had been watching the news and the alerts all day long, and the last thing I read was that they were going to probably put a stage 2 by noon the next day, meaning Tuesday.
By late afternoon on Labor Day, winds in the Santiam Canyon were gusting upwards of 50 miles an hour.
Steve, can you walk me through how windy it was Monday afternoon and then into Monday evening in places along the Santiam River, whether it be Gates, whether it be Mill City or Lyons and Detroit? How hard was the wind blowing in there?
Here we have this east wind event. So we've got air flowing up over the ridges from eastern Oregon and eastern Washington, and it's looking for those gaps or those canyons that it can really funnel through. I looked at some of the observations, honestly, before some of the power went out in those areas where you were talking about, Gates, Nehama, Lyons, even down into Staten. The winds, you know, at one location I saw gusts of 56 miles per hour. That wind just funneled from the ridgeline to the south and the ridgeline to the north through the Highway 22 Canyon.
Fire scientist Brett Butler explains how that wind helps fires grow bigger and move faster.
Anything that enhances, adds to the airflow, is going to increase the fire intensity. So that's one way that wind enhances fire, is it helps push more oxygen, more air to the flaming zone. The second thing that happens is wind generally kind of pushes the flames over. So they're leaning over. That enhances the energy or the heating of the vegetation that's ahead of the fire front. So it's heated more efficiently, more quickly, and you get increase in ignition and spread rate.
Once fires get that big, they start to make their own weather.
I'll give you a little more physics there. It is, if you will, for every basketball size amount of vegetation that burns, you need 4,000 to 6,000 equivalent basketballs of air. If you think about that, when you have that amount of vegetation burning, you know, that air being sucked in has to be replaced. That's how fires really generate all this movement of air. And then it's affected by the terrain and channeled by the drainage or the valley. And, you know, you just have very complex effects. Just an amazing amount of energy when you have air that's rotated and then in combination with heat on the ground essentially generates a tornado.
As stronger and stronger winds fanned the flames of the Beachy Creek Fire, a new problem was born. Power lines were being blown down, starting more fires. And conditions on the ground were getting worse.
That's the first time that we've ever seen a wind like that come through as strong as it did from the direction it did. And that's why I was videotaping it, because it's so rare. It was so strong. Across the river, there was actually trees being blown down across the river. I went outside to videotape out front, and I could hear off in the distance, I could actually hear trees, large trees coming down in the woods at a distance. And you could hear large trees just falling in the forest. And I go, that's not normal.
Yeah.
We lost power, and then we lost cell service before it was dark.
Long before the sun was supposed to set Monday evening, thick smoke and ash blotted out the sky in Santiam Canyon, and the wind kept blowing harder.
It just continued hot, dry. You know, we had 10, 11, 9% relative humidity, super, super warm and dry air coming up over the Cascades from the east.
Several days later, we would learn winds blowing over the tops of the Cascades and into the Willamette Valley through places like Santiam Canyon were equivalent to a Category 1 hurricane. 10 overnight hours of sustained winds in excess of 80 miles an hour, with gusts over 100.
Imagine just for a second being in the middle of that canyon where there's fire all around, choking smoke, ash and embers falling all around.
We'll be right back.
The COIN Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Executive producer Ian Costello here, coming to you from the Work From Home COIN Podcast Studios. When we started our podcasts back in February of 2019, we had no idea that we would end up here. Now, a year and a half later, tens of thousands of you are listening to hundreds of our podcasts, and we need to make some changes to grow even further. That's why, starting this week, you can find all of the COIN podcasts in one place. The brand new COIN Podcast Network. From Beaver Smack to Writer's Block. From your weather to our constant coverage of the coronavirus pandemic and the protests in Portland. It is all available in one place. So, to keep hearing the podcasts you already love and to discover more of our exclusive audio content, head to coin.com/podcasts or search COIN, that's K-O-I-N, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podbean. Thank you for listening. What happened along the Santiam River in early September of 2020 is unusual, but not unprecedented.
Yeah, you have a history of large fires. We've got documentation, at least from the settlement era. A lot of that is powered by logging, land clearing, but it's also with an east wind. That's what really drives the monster fires.
Steve Pine is a fire historian who has written several books on wildfires, including one on the Great Fires of 1910. When a storm system similar to the one that fueled the Santiam Canyon firestorm in 2020 swept through the Rocky Mountains, sending hurricane-force winds into several established fires.
Thinking back to the 1910, we've got some wonderful accounts of people totally surprised by this. There were hundreds of fires. The winds blew up. They merged. It just stormed across the landscape. Just this apocalyptic event.
In the subsequent firestorm, 3 million acres of Montana, Idaho, and Washington burned in less than 3 days. 87 people died. 110 years later, the explosive firestorm raging along the Santiam River created the same dangerous and deadly circumstances for people in the path of the flames.
I think what happens is people's senses get overwhelmed. You lose your sense of sight. It all turns dark. Your sense of smell is gone. You've lost it. It's overwhelmed. All your senses just sort of crushed and just overpowered. And we shouldn't forget the noise, because we see a lot of big fires and you can see the flames. But when you're actually there, it's going to be very loud. You're not going to be able to hear one another. You know, it's like standing behind a jet engine.
We are following breaking news right now. Several communities in Marion County under Level 3 Go Now evacuation orders after several wildfires become worse because of last night's winds.
The calls to leave now are pressing. Elise Haas is live at the evacuation center at the Oregon State Fairgrounds in Salem with what areas are threatened. Elise?
So overnight, these evacuation orders have gotten more urgent by the hour. And at this point, the Marion County Sheriff's Office says that they can no longer be going door to door to notify families. So they're asking people to leave these areas immediately. And they just, within the last 5 minutes, have expanded the evacuation zones.
By the time Monday night turns into Tuesday morning, hundreds of people are scrambling to get out of a canyon with fire raging on both sides of the Santiam River.
If the flames are coming and you hear the noise, people are just going to go in a direction away from it, wherever they can.
And all of a sudden, I hear people, I hear sirens, I hear people coming down my street in a hurry and seeing people leave is basically what they're doing.
Brett Butler has made a career out of studying the behavior of wildfire. I caught up with him in Missoula, Montana, where he works for the U.S. Forest Service's Fire Sciences Laboratory.
Brett, early Tuesday morning, the Marion County Sheriff's Department is telling people, get out and get out now. The Beechey Creek Fire is a full-fledged firestorm, and it's running over small towns along that river. People are fleeing the flames. Can you give me an idea of what the conditions are like in there in those moments?
it's not going to be a comfortable situation. Pretty dense smoke and lots of embers. You know, there could be embers that are not burning, but in many cases, you're going to see burning embers, glowing embers. So it will be a very uncomfortable, if not a dangerous situation. If you have strong winds, steep slopes, there is a phenomenon we call flame attachment, where the hot gases essentially attached to the surface of the earth. Then if you're in that type of situation where there's a flame attachment, you'll be subjected to very, very hot gases. It's going to be very uncomfortable in terms of smoke and the embers, that kind of thing.
That firestorm is raging. It's burning both sides of the canyon. Buildings are on fire. People are trying to get down the road and get out. What are the conditions that are most dangerous for people in the path of those flames?
Well, I've got to think it's driving or traveling, right? If you're walking, running, or driving, and visibility is severely reduced. And also lots of distractions. If you have houses or vegetation that's burning around you, you're trying to drive along or through that.
As the race to get out of the canyon intensified Tuesday morning, Coin6 news crews got a firsthand look at the fight against a firestorm that was still less than a day old.
Racing westward down the Santiam River corridor along Highway 22 there, and simply savaging some of these communities like Mill City and Gates. The number of structures burned, I don't believe yet a hard number on actually how many structures have burned. Firefighters have just barely able to keep their breath as they struggle to prevent fire from spreading.
Some fire crews in certain areas, but they are absolutely overwhelmed. All right, you can see the fires in that fir tree back there starting to crown. And sadly, you can see several buildings here have gone up. There's some intense heat. We're going to have to move back. We have heard some explosions from some propane tanks here at this house, but it looks like a couple of buildings have been taken out here. There's still one home remaining, but you can see there's fire burning right behind the house. If you can see that, Bill, right behind the house, that it's coming up on the house here. So we're going to have to back off here just to stay safe. You can hear propane tanks kind of burning in the distance, blowing up throughout this area as there are spot fires, and firefighters are stretched extremely thin right now.
By noon Tuesday, while the flames roared down the Santiam River toward the nearby town of Staten, the raging east wind pushed the smoke over the state capital of Salem, over another mountain range, and all the way to the Oregon coast.
We know something terrible is unfolding in Santiam Canyon. This fire is raging out of control. And we start to see these pictures out of Albany and Salem and Depot Bay and Newburgh. This smoke is running from that fire a very long way. Steve, have you ever seen smoke make it to the coast like that from the Cascades?
Now, here's the historic side of this. From both a meteorological perspective and just from a pure fire perspective, to see an east wind event continue for this long with fires on the western slopes of the Cascades. Now, normally we're used to seeing eastern slopes of the Cascades caused by lightning, those types of fires. And keep in mind, an east wind is very, very rare east of the Cascade Crest. It is a phenomena very much prone to west of the Cascades only, and that's just based on our topography. But to see it also carry on down to the coast is even more so rare.
Tuesday evening, as the thick smoke settled throughout the Willamette Valley and up and down the Oregon coast, the wind finally began to let up.
Most of the homes and buildings that have burned are on the north side of the North Santiam River, which of course is the river that comes out of Detroit Lake. And there's a lot of communities between here and Staten and up to Detroit Lake that are all being seriously impacted by the smoke and the ash thick in the air. The only real positive sign that we have to report tonight is you can see the winds have died down completely. So, you know, it was an insane situation this morning with those winds, but the winds are now died down. So at least the firefighters at least have a shot at getting some of these fires under control.
The east winds continued to die down over Tuesday night, and Wednesday morning brought an eerie calm to the now devastated towns along the Santiam River.
The wind that blew the firestorm down the Santiam Valley has gone dead calm. Visibility driving between Lyons and Mill City mid-morning is not much longer than the length of a football field at times. The signs of fire damage are all around, with one side of the street in ruins, while another house just across the street seems to be untouched by fire. This is just the beginning of what is certain to be a days-long and a weeks-long discovery of a lot of destruction of property. And sadly, there is a great fear that there are a lot of people who did not heed the evacuation orders and may have perished.
In the blink of an eye, rare and record-setting winds picked up a small fire and turned it into a monster. A monster that forever changed the history of a picturesque piece of Oregon.
You're looking at downtown Detroit right there. City Hall is gone, Cedars, the restaurant bar is gone, and look at this fire truck destroyed. The town we all know and love as we travel to Central Oregon, destroyed by just a wall of fire.
3 weeks later, as hundreds of evacuees have been allowed back to see the damage done the night Santiam Canyon burned, official reports say the Beechey Creek Fire has burned 192,000 acres, destroyed 486 homes, and killed five people, most of which in a matter of hours.
Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. You can listen to more great Coin podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.